hard time hearing me. Raise your hands and I can turn on the mic and talk into that. So welcome. We've got a couple of new faces. And I'm going to pass around this sign-in sheet, both sides of the table. Oh, that's too bad. Well, thanks for inviting me. All right, so let's, I'm not used to all this high-tech, real high-tech technology. Yeah, so here's our agenda. This is our roadmap for today. We have a few items to get through this morning before we'll focus mostly on platform and technologies, and we're going to have a little tutorial with the Urban Institute where they're going to show us around some of the new features that they've put into the community platform, and then give folks an idea of how to start uploading our own data sets directly into the platform. So let's start with introductions. Jim Bennett, would you like to start and then kind of go around the room, introduce yourself, what neighborhood you live in here in Sarasota County, and or if you don't live in Sarasota County, what neighborhood you live in elsewhere, and then maybe some organizational affiliation that you might have.
I'm Jim Bennett. I am a member of the Bennett City Council. I live in a Sawgrass, which is a J.J. Holmes plan community that was built on a bomb field, and I'm a data freak.
My name is Tamara Shells, and I am a planner and planning department for Sarasota County, and I live in Paradise. Jane Frog, Neighborhood Services for Sarasota County, and I live in the city of Sarasota in the Northeast community.
My name is Jason Moniker. I work with Sarasota County GIS. And when I'm in Sarasota, I affiliate with Twin Lakes, but my family is still in the Carrollwood area of Tampa, so I'm back and forth now on that.
My name is Katie Leonard. I am an urban planner with Sarasota County Health Department. Got here late, so I'm not quite sure what I'm doing, but I'm assuming we're saying where our neighborhood affiliations are. I live actually in Manatee County on University, but I do a lot of work in all communities in Sarasota, particularly North Sarasota and Newtown.
I'm Tim Dutton. I live in Central Coconut neighborhood of the city of Sarasota, and I'm affiliated with the Sarasota Community Studio.
I am Allison Pico. I also live in Central Coconut and am also with the Sarasota Community Studio.
I'm Ron Flynn. I'm on the board of directors of the Siesta Key Association. I live on Siesta Key. And I also do commercial and residential real estate and as a second career. And I use GIS mapping a lot with clients.
Nita Hester, City of Northport GIS. And I live in Northport in the Country Club Ridge neighborhood.
Kathy Soley with Sarasota County GIS, and I live in the Country Pines part of Dearborn.
Trevor Moniers from Sarasota County GIS, and I live in South Key.
And John Lambie, Florida House Institute, and long-term fan of using GIS for decision support tools and planning. And I live in Goldfinger.
John McCarthy, affiliated with Scope, and I live in Marshall Manor.
Nancy Deloach, Sarasota County, Health and Human Services, and I live in Southfield.
And I'm Colleen McHugh. I live in the Indian Beach, Sapphire Shores neighborhood of City of Sarasota, right on the border of Sarasota and Manatee counties. And I work on the Community Data Initiative at Scope. So before we really get started, does anyone want to offer to be the note taker for this particular meeting? I know
I'll do recording, that's it.
Awesome.
Just recording, I'm not doing the writing.
Okay, so you'll record?
I'll record.
Is there a volunteer to take minutes? All right, John?
I'll take a minute.
Okay, thanks, Allison. All right, so second item is review or approval of November meeting notes. They have been posted on the Weebly website, and several folks had an opportunity to kind of make some corrections and updates. So is there a move to approve the minutes as they are now?
I move to approve the minutes.
Thanks, Nita. Second? Sure. Okay. Meeting minutes approved for November.
Who seconded?
What?
Who seconded?
Oh, I thought I saw Kathy.
Kathy did.
Oh, no, I was saying I didn't get a chance to read them. So.
Oh, never mind.
I'll second.
All right. So we're going to move pretty quickly through this, and I'm going to try and keep track of the time so we get on our call right at 10 o'clock. Important item on the agenda in terms of data sets and data stewards. Those of you who've been part of the collaborative for a while have seen a few of the different iterations of this data steward commitment form. And Jim Bennett had drafted a commitment form, when was it, for the October meeting? And the only person so far who provided some feedback on that form was Allison. And I printed out several copies of that form to pass around to you guys so you can take a look. But this is an important item for us to really take up in the near future in terms of signing something that's really committing yourself to working with the collaborative and being part of the collaborative and what that means. So I'm going to pass that around, and then I'm going to pass around, and I'm not sure if I have enough copies, but the original commitment or preliminary partnership agreement that was drafted in 2012, so you can take a look at that and see sort of what those both look like. And if you take a minute or two to look those over.
Well, let me say that when I drafted the blue marker document, I went from the other document in order to give people who looked at it some idea of what this group does. So that when you see 1, 2, 3 that are blank on the blue mark form, you would pick up with 1, 2, 3 on the other form.
Do you have any more copies of those? Some of us didn't get them over here.
Are there extra copies at the end of
yes.
this? Okay.
We only need one for our group.
Okay.
Okay. We only need one. Or do you have one?
Here.
Oh, thanks.
Now, I had uploaded several documents to the Basecamp group. And I know that some of you are in the Basecamp group, and some of you have either it's gone into your spam folder and you haven't received a notification to join the Basecamp group, or maybe you just haven't logged in to sign up for it yet. So, and Jim, you said you were having that problem. I wish Kari was here to give us a little info on how to do that. But I
How about I'll send out to the larger group an email that says, you know, remove or add like Basecamp or whatever the address is to your safe senders list. How many of you are receiving messages through Basecamp? I'll send it out to the big group, or everyone who's here tonight too, and we'll make sure that that happens. One of the other documents that was shared by Kari was this a little more official memorandum of understanding that CHIP uses with their partners, CHIP, the Community Health Improvement Partnership. So I shared that, but I'm going to pass a copy of that around, so you have three pieces of paper to look at now as another, you know, another form that is a type of partnership agreement for a collaborative group like this. So that particular document has, you know, vision, purpose, shared values, that kind of thing on it as well.
Oh, you ended up with both of them. Okay.
And it seems, I don't know what the rest of you are thinking, but it seems to me like some sort of hybrid of these documents might be something that would work for us to sign on to in this partnership agreement. But I think we need if we're going to be a collaborative, we need a decision from the whole group on what folks are willing to sign on to in terms of commitment. So what are some initial thoughts about these?
Colleen, let me also say, where you see Allison's comments A6 and A7, I happen to also be a lawyer, and so one of the reasons I put those in there is for the reasons that they state. If the group wants to be more formal than that, it can, but I'm not saying that's necessarily a good idea, because when you have something that is a collaborative, generally is thought of as being a little more informal than some actual formal partnership that has all kinds of legal consequences you don't want to hear about. So that's why that's in there. But it's certainly not something that has to be done.
So do you have a hesitation to sign on to a more formal partnership agreement? Is that why you were?
Yeah, I don't think that we should, but that's just my perspective, and I don't know enough to know whether that is what's really underneath this, because if you have something that gets fairly formal, and CHIP type stuff might want to be more formal, where you are looking for actual commitments for funding from organizations that require details and that kind of thing, you might want to have that from the beginning, or you might want to have a second thing where you're really trying to have somebody locked in. But in an operation like this, as I see it, you don't really want to lock people in technically. You want them to stay in because it's something that's really interesting and they're all excited about it and they want to keep with it. And if you do it that way, it's much more like a loose association. It's got enough formality to protect you if somebody tries to start sending slings and arrows at you. But that is to say, individuals in this group wouldn't have a collective liability because they were in this group. Now, John, I see John nodding. John has been with the county for some time and knows about the other kinds of formalities, and they can be very stultifying sometimes, in fact, very often. So it depends on the approach everybody wants to take here.
what does everyone else think about that? I mean, I think part of the purpose of this partnership agreement is to ensure that if someone's providing the data, that that data is accurate to that steward's knowledge, and to make sure that as if that data needs to get updated, perhaps that steward needs the person to update that data rather than for that to be someone else's responsibility to take it on.
Can we kind of cover that in the spreadsheet with who owns and maintains stuff?
We could. But there's no formal agreement within that spreadsheet that that person would maintain the data.
Yeah, Colleen, and I think it's going to be different maybe for people from different places. From us coming from the county, you know, we have a responsibility to our organization to keep the data updated, as well as, you know, sunshine law, anyone is free to have our data. So for us, it's a little bit different. I mean, we are always going to, whether it's you or someone else comes in and asks us for the data,
we'll
freely provide it, correct, so.
Say it again, Northport's the same way.
Well, because right, you're government.
Because we're government.
Government perspective. I won't speak for non-government groups, but it's more in the spirit of I'll help you out, I want to be a part of this effort, and then rely on the legal thing that's more binding to be that formal contract that we have. Does that make sense? That's just where I would be.
I think if the intent is for folks from throughout the community at all different levels and from all different sources to be contributing to it, that we can't overcomplicate that entry.
Right.
But we can, from a responsibility standpoint, you know, again, I think it goes back to folks keeping their information updated, looking to be as accurate as possible, and maybe being willing to respond to questions about that data that might come up from time to time. So there could be some things that are set out as almost like an expectation document that by participating in it, here's kind of the expectation that you'll keep your stuff fresh, you'll keep your stuff good, and you know, you'll participate when possible, you know, with the rest of the collaborative. And we'll maybe if you, you know, like you move out of a neighborhood, you know, maybe part of it too is to help with the transition. Who else would you hand this off to? Because that's, I think, one of the things that you'll find over time is that people are going to move around. And so someone's going to be really ambitious in a particular neighborhood, and they might move to a different neighborhood, and who's going to pick that up? So maybe some indication of who might be a backup person might be a good thing to have on the form as well.
I also should mention as an example of where you might want something more formal in a specific case. I'm going to invent this to give you the example, but just suppose that I had found after going through a community that there was a really exciting correlation between an activity in place A and how far as a neighbor you live from that. and that I had found data that really showed an exciting correlation. And if you were 5 blocks away from this kind of activity, it would have no impact. But if you were next door, or the house next door to next door, it would. And that I had examples I wanted to give you of how this worked, but I hadn't talked to the people yet, and I hadn't been able to get their permission to use their name. And that would take some time, but I wanted people to look at this and talk about it. I could give everybody something called a secrecy agreement. There are various forms of that. But what that would allow
Welcome to GoToMeeting. Online meetings made easy.
Will you have an illustration of something different?
One moment, Rob. Sorry, we're finishing up another discussion.
You can do it that way. I don't know what you do about competing talk, though, but that's another subject.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's almost 10 o'clock. let's table this discussion for next time in the interest of moving on to the tutorial part of the Urban Institute. This is a really important topic, though, so we'll discuss this at the next meeting. Rob, can you hear us?
Rob, can you hear us?
No, on the computer.
Where? Here?
Yeah, it looks like it's green.
I can hear you.
So it looks like it's on.
Let's try calling in.
She would need to have the connection set up on the computer she's using. No. It's not going to go through one of these microphones.
Right.
Yes, I can.
Good morning. We have a group of folks here. There's also an echo.
Okay.
Echo.
So I'm going to let you
introduce
yourself
and
take charge of the meeting.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Rob Dana. I'm the lead developer for the community platform for National Center of Charitable Statistics. My boss is Tom Pollock, who, my apologies for him, he was gonna meet with us this morning, but he had some travel issues. Then he had trouble getting flights where he needed to be, and he's unable to be with us. But I think I can probably handle what we need to do this morning.
Okay.
Tom generally handles the financial side and our roadmap and whatnot, and I handle the technical side. So I'll start in, and I know I talked briefly with Colleen, and this morning I intend to cover a brief overview of the
the Sarasota Community Platform, what we have, where we are, and maybe where we're going. And then I'll take a brief look at data set upload, and see again where we are with that and where that will be going. And I'll also this morning look briefly at our, I'd like to show you all the New Mexico Community Platform that is to be released later this month. So that's pretty close to complete, and they have extensive use of community indicators, and they have a specific user interface that is up and running in beta that we are intending to put on the Sarasota Community Platform shortly within the next month. So that'll give you all a look at where some of the community indicator data for the front end will be shortly. And that about covers what we'll go over.
That sounds good.
Did I cover it all, Colleen? Did I miss anything there?
I think that's about it.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start with a brief overview, and I apologize, I'm not sure of my audience as far as your knowledge or where you are with the platform as a whole. So I'll be happy to start at the beginning and just briefly look at some of the other parts and pieces of the platform, and then we can kind of drill down to the data level and see where that's at. To start, I guess, and I'm not sure what the timeline looks like. I apologize for that, Colleen. Tom usually handles that. I would describe the platform as we're looking at it now. You can all see my screen, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I would say where we are now is short of beta release. I don't know that I have a date on beta release. I don't know if you do, Colleen. I know Tom said next month's meeting we'll have most of what we discussed today running and ready for beta release. So I would say what we have now is somewhere between proof of concept and beta release. So what we have now, a lot of it, what you'll see today, what I'll click through some of these pages here, has not been fully designed. It hasn't been run through by our design team. Sometimes things go through coding and then design, or vice versa, or it, sometimes it comes from design to coding. In this case here, it hasn't been fully designed and styled. Mark Proust is our lead designer, and he will go through the platform probably in the next couple weeks and finish up a lot of the design. So what you see now might look a little blank, a little white in areas. He handles all that. So that'll be coming along. What you see on my screen now is what will be the home page for the platform. There'll be introductory text and how things work, and as you can see, the focus of the platform is on the neighborhood level. So we present that right at the home page with the idea that we would like to encourage people to immediately begin at a lower level. A little different, I guess, from a lot of websites that we see a lot of times. People like to, some of our other platforms, which we have currently about 25 different platforms nationwide, a lot of them start at a higher level and drill down. And this one is a little unique in that we are immediately funneling them to the lower level neighborhood, which I like. As working through the data, it's very nice to immediately come in and see neighborhood level data. I think a lot of the normal end users per se that aren't necessarily funders or something, I think that's very important, and it's it gives it kind of a warmer, more personal feel. Before I do get into the neighborhood level, I'd like to look at a couple of the different things that we have on our platform that are just standard on a lot of our platforms. It can be customized, stuff that is not getting used, we can take it out or change it. But this is just some stuff that's on our standard platforms. Or we can put introductory text, we can put calendars, we can put events, stuff that's going on, and this would be platform-wide. So stuff that we might like people to realize is part of the Sarasota community as a whole. They'll have a map interface, which is, and actually, I need to apologize. I don't know whether there's something going on lately with a lot of web traffic. I actually was getting some real poor responses from Google earlier today. So we'll see what we get from them. But this is our standard, again, this is a mapping interface that is on all of our platforms. Some use it more extensively than others. I know Sarasota, the focus was on neighborhood level, so all of this information that you see here, we've kind of scaled it back and customized it to be at a neighborhood level. I'll look at that interface shortly. We also have I'm getting some poor responses this morning. I'm not sure what the story is, but I was getting it at a lot of different sites. We also have a knowledge base that's part of the platform. Again, some platforms choose to focus on that, some don't. It can be used like a knowledge base like you're familiar with. There can be pages for general items. And some platforms also choose to use the knowledge base. We can customize it a little bit, and it works as like a library of local data. So you can post anything and everything you want to give like a library feel for Sarasota data and events. We also have a shared resource side of the platform, which has actually been extensively redesigned. So I'm not going to go into that because the new design will probably be out next week. What that is, though, is it's kind of like it shows it's shared resources. So organizations and assets within the platform can post either needs or availability. It's used extensively for volunteer opportunities, try to connect volunteers with opportunities. But it could also be used as like a classified listing. You know, if somebody wants to donate, use office furniture, you can post it up there and kind of connects both sides of the coin. Works very well. It gets a lot of attention on a lot of our different platforms. So now we're back to the homepage. That's the general overview of the platform. That's a lot of the more general stuff. Now I'd like to focus more on what we're going to do in Sarasota and kind of why the Sarasota platform is a little different. As you can see, this is our initial concept of the neighborhood focus for Sarasota. And as you can see here, you can click on any of the different neighborhoods. Someone could browse around here and see, or if they were in a particular neighborhood, they can come in and go right to their neighborhood from here. So we'll just pick one random, DeSoto Acres. This is the unique Sarasota focus. This is where I was talking earlier that we really start at a lower level. So you can see some of the general mapping interface model that we looked at earlier is geared to a much higher level. This is really kind of grassroots down to the nitty-gritty. And a lot of personalization in this interface. We have on this interface currently a lot of, again, it was used as a proof of concept more or less for what you see on the right side here is how we will proceed with development of these items. So it's not full of data. It has very limited data currently, but it gives you a good feel of how things could work as we get data loaded, which we do plan to within the next month or so.
So
what you can see here is things are designed at like a domain level. So you can choose your neighborhood, come in and out, see where you stand, your neighborhood is compared to the whole.
Hey, Rob, we have a question from the audience.
Sure.
Rob, can you hear me? This is Allison Pinto.
Yes, I can hear you.
I don't know.
So, but go ahead.
So this is sort of where we were at the end of September. And I'm trying to understand why we're still in the same place we were at the end of September.
Did you hear that, Rob?
I heard the...
I think you haven't demonstrated some of the new tools that are part of the New Mexico platform that you are integrating into ARPS. And I think that's what Allison's asking about.
Okay. Well, first of all, I need to apologize that Tom's not here. I really would rather he handles questions of where we are and what the roadmap is. It's really not my domain within our organization. I can show you what we do have. I can tell you where we are headed. But some of that, I apologize, Allison. I really just don't have the answer to that. You'd have to ask Tom that.
I can show you where we have
up and running for New Mexico, which we can then move to the Sarasota platform. I honestly am not sure what was there in September versus what is there now. And again, I don't have the details of when we were. I don't have that in front of me. If we have a beta release date, if we have a final production date, I don't have that information. I don't know if that's something that you've already talked to Tom about. It sounds like maybe you have.
Well, Scope, is there any change in the plan? Because I know at the end of September there was a lot of data that everybody in this room provided. I'm assuming that the Urban Institute has had that data, and I'm trying to understand why none of it's loaded in the system so that any of us in neighborhoods are able to begin using it.
Rob and I have been working together to figure out the uploading system, which he's about to demonstrate for you guys. Some of that data has needed to be cleaned before it's ready to be uploaded into this type of system. So I'm in the process of cleaning that right now. That's where we're at. So if we want to continue with the uploading discussion.
Push down once more. Push down once more.
Okay. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. So you want me to continue with where I was headed here? Okay.
Down is up.
Can you
hear us, Rob?
I can. There's still an echo, but my voice echo has seemed to have gone away, so I guess I can probably continue. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'll continue then.
I muted all the mics. But you still get vibration.
All right, I'll try again.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear us at all now? Are you muted there too? Can you hear us now? Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Just tell him to continue and we'll mute ourselves and unmute when we have a question.
Hey, Rob.
Yes?
We're going to mute ourselves so you don't get that feedback. And then when we have a question, we will unmute ourselves. How's that sound?
Okay, so when you mute, I'll just proceed along.
Okay, that works. Sorry about that.
Assume you're all there listening to me. Okay, that's fine. Okay, well, I guess we're probably okay then. I feel like I'm talking to myself, but that's okay. As long as you can all hear me, that's what counts. So I want to talk about this interface and look at what it does and what it will do. We have all our focus at the neighborhood level, where we can present to the user all the data once it's finally uploaded. So for some demonstration, we have here female registered voters by neighborhood. We can compare neighborhood data, and we can put, you know, we'll have a long list which we have compiled, like Colony says, and Clean, which I believe is about ready to go. So we get the rest of the demographic data going. And then it'll also handle boundary data. This is where we'll organize all the data by domain level. And we can then allow the user to overlay information from their neighborhood. I apologize. This is what I was looking at earlier. That actually, Google was having some issues this morning with their server. But as you can see, the neighborhood remains the focus. But we can also look at it, compare other neighborhoods, other areas, and show different domain level data on here. This is a unique to Sarasota, and this is a little more of the personal level we were talking about, where we can encourage users to, from a neighborhood level, to add their stories, photos, videos, assets, so they could add an asset, they could add their group, if they have a model railroad club, whatever, in their neighborhood, they could add that in, show that on the map. They can also come in here and they can add their story. They can title it, they can put photos with it, they can talk about it. So if we had a park cleanup event last Saturday, I can come in here and post photos and a story about it. It'll identify it on the map. Whatever else is going on in the area, it's designed to then be neighborhood level focused with some personal information to keep people's interest, keep them, have them buy into the club. This is just more domain data. We have it all compiled. It's not all been loaded, but this is where you can see when we have parks, we can put in how we classify all the assets, and we'll be able to put them on here. I guess that's about it, what we'll have for the neighborhood level interface. I would like to look at and show you what we have for the strict indicator interface in New Mexico, which we will tie into this. For people that are not necessarily looking for the stories and whatnot, maybe a little more advanced user. This is the interface that we just have running for the state of New Mexico. It's designed strictly for indicator data. There is currently no asset data on this interface. You can see it's designed it as a wizard. So someone can come in and the idea being that, okay, I want to see data for the whole state of New Mexico. We have different geographic levels you can look at, so you can choose to see data, say, at county level. Then we have different categories of data, and this is all within the data upload that we currently have set up for Sarasota. So data is uploaded, you can upload it in categories, so it will appear on here as such. And then here's the specific indicators we have here. So county level data, all the indicators, there's a list here. A lot of the others are similar, just for the different geographic zones. Yeah, really. So we can look at
high school, we are having trouble with here's an idea of what you get for county level data. This is all the information that they've uploaded that we'll talk about next in the data upload section. And then what we also have here is they have their documentation. Oh, this indicator doesn't have any documentation.
Rob, we just think we figured it out. Can you hear us?
Actually, okay. There is no echo.
So. Okay, great.
Hey, Colleen, since she can hear us now, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So the data, the part that Rob's going over now, Rob, this is Tim Dutton. This is all at the state and county scale. It looks like sometimes it gets down to like a school district scale. Is this by way of example?
Yes.
As opposed to this is the scale we're going to be dealing with?
Yeah, this is exactly right. This is just an example.
Okay, so it'll be applied in Sarasota all the way down to the neighborhood scale.
Exactly right, yes. And they do have some breakdown. They don't have neighborhoods, but they have it by elementary school or DOH small areas. So they have different levels. They don't happen to have a neighborhood level on this platform.
Okay.
But yes, exactly right. This is just an example of that. And at the bottom here, you'll have neighborhood level. You may not have these other ones. I don't recall exactly. I know you do have school districts. But you may not have data specifically associated with that right now, or if you do, those will appear here.
Okay.
So that is correct. But this is just an example of how we can present the data once we get it uploaded. And this is how the end user will choose that geographic area. What I wanted to show too here is this is where we have documentation. You'll be able to upload detailed documentation. New Mexico has uploaded it for maybe a third of their indicators. And I apologize. I really wish I could pull one quick that I knew they had detailed information on that I'd like to show it to you. And I can't pick one that I know has indicators right off. But that's where you'll see the detailed documentation. For the indicators, and that's really customizable, so you can show source, you can show years, you can go into real fine-grained detail where you develop the data. And we are also able to present the data in table format through this interface, which is another popular item. It can all be sorted however the user wants. They can download the data in CSV format, so if they want to pick some indicators and actually play with the data themselves, they are able to. And then we're also working on charting the data. So here you can see this indicator, birth to mothers who are not married. It's all, again, a county level data through the state of New Mexico. And it's all charted here.
And these charts we can download from the platform, correct? Or the tables?
The table data can be downloaded. The chart, to be honest, And I can't say that you can actually download the chart. I mean, you can take a screenshot. But that's about all that's there now. I mean, it's actually, the chart is actually based on Google Charts, is the library that's running this. And I don't know if they have something that maybe allows you to download a JPEG or something like that. I'll have to look at that. But
okay. It would be neat if we could download the charts, too.
Right. And the data you can download, you can see here, it opens right up, and it'll give you a CSV file, which is this data, which is going to have to be opened up via Excel and spreadsheet.
Okay, thanks.
So this interface is built. It hasn't been integrated into the Sarasota platform, but it is it's high on the roadmap. I do know, again, I'll have to ask Tom when he intends to have that running for the platform. But that's, that and this neighborhood interface are the two areas where we'll be able to present the data that we're now talking about offline. I'm logged in here. This here is the tools interface for the platform. Again, it's a part of this is the generic interface for our standard platform. It's all generally available to community administrators. So we'll set up specific users that have access to this information. We do have fine-grained controls over this. You can designate a user saying it's able to upload data, manipulate data, but not do other things. This is where the community, the platform as a whole is administrated here. So today we really want to look at what we have for the indicators and specifically for uploading indicator data. So this is where we would go to upload that.
Hey, Rob, before you get to this, can I mention something to the group? Because I don't know if they know about this feature. In order to get into this area that Rob's showing us right now, you need to register as a user of the platform. And any of you can, any person in the county can register as a user. So I think, are you showing it up there? Yeah, so here's your registration. I checked. So far, I'm the only registered user, so I realize that probably no one else has registered yet. This is something that I encourage you all to do. Right. And yeah, then you can get into that back end.
You're right. I didn't cover that earlier. To start using the platform in more than just the front end, you need to come here and register. When you submit this form, it's standard registration process. You'll get an email that you need to confirm your email address via the link in the email, so you don't get something right away. Check your spam folder. See where that email might have went. And once you are confirmed your email address, you can come in here and log in. Now, the standard currently, a standard registered user is not able to upload indicator data. That's probably an issue to be discussed for requirements. I personally would probably leave it as such, but I don't know what your ideas, what your focus will be. If you want to allow to upload data. Currently, it is set up to just allow community administrators to upload the data. So, colleagues, in the meantime, if there are registered users that you want to allow to upload data, you can let me know. At this point in the program, I certainly could make that open to everybody, so everybody at your meeting and all is able to upload data. But we could discuss that later today or something if you'd like.
Okay.
Make sure we can get the proper people in here. So when you do come in to upload indicator data, there are geographic groups which are already set up. I don't believe you should need to upload it to create any more geographies. And this is what we just discussed earlier about neighborhood level census tract. Those are all set up. The Sarasota neighborhoods are already set up, and actually I have a I have a demo file for you to look at that shows that. The KML file, again, for the Sarasota neighborhood is already created. It's up there. It's ready for use. So basically what you all will be doing, or us, as we do upload, like I said, we have other data ready to go. We'll use this feature to upload the data. This is, again, it has been styled, but it's fully functional. We can upload data sets from this here. There's some brief descriptive text over here that tells how things are and how this page operates. It's a little on the technical side, so it's the typical development fine line between a regular user and a power user, where someone understands metadata and how that works, and someone that might not be as familiar with how things might normally need to be related. We have here two links to sample file, which give a great view of how things will need to look when they're to be uploaded through this page. So this here is the sample file from metadata. Again, if you open that, it gives you a CSV file. And you can see the columns and what needs to be uploaded. So this test file is the metadata for 1, 2, 3, 4 indicators. It shows you the columns that will need to be populated, and the page we were just on gives you a description of these columns right here. So it tells you, what that information is and how it all relates. Once you upload one, or once you look at it in depth, it should make some pretty good sense. Talks about how you format the data, so you can tell it if it's a percent, if it's an integer, or maybe dollar value, something like that. So it tells how we present the data. This information here, the type and the concept, is for relational data. So you might have, I can't think of one off the top of my head, let's just call it poverty. So you might have poverty by neighborhood. And you might have a count of poverty, you might have a rate, and then you might want to upload margin of error. And if you show all those as the same concept of poverty, then in the table data that we looked at just a minute ago in New Mexico's website, all of those three indicators are shown as being related. They'll all show on the table data. So if someone does look up poverty by neighborhood, they'll get three columns in the table data, count, rate, and margin of error. It's a very nice feature. It kind of gives you the whole kit to move from the table data. So that's what's required of the metadata. And again, this file that we're looking at is available for download. So if you're interested, you can come to this page and click the link and download the metadata sample yourself. You could actually just fill in some of your data and then just re-upload it as a CSV file. And this here is the sample data file. And this here, I used the Sarasota neighborhoods. So you can see here, these are the four indicators that are related to in the metadata. And they're all tied to all the neighborhoods that are currently loaded in the neighborhood KML file. So you have, this relates to the polygon and the geography. And again, this is all defined on that page. And this is here is the label. So you might, and I know this is all caps. Maybe you want to change that. Or maybe that is formal names, and someone wants to put some more informal names. You can do that. And then when the indicator is created dynamically, then the polygons will be labeled as such. And then this is the indicator data. So this indicator might be poverty, and this year might be, violent crimes. This one might be petty crime. data from all different angles. You know, that can be uploaded here. As you can see, as the numbers relate to the geography. And that's it in a nutshell. So we could take, we're going to load by Sarasota neighborhoods, which would be, I would imagine, the majority of what you're doing is data tied to the neighborhoods that we just talked about. And let's call this test 10 data. We want to upload our metadata that we just discussed. That's the file we just had open. And then the same thing as the data file. So we're going to load the data file. And then this here is you need to tell it which columns you're using for labels and names. And that's all defined down here. And then you can upload it. And then once it is uploaded, it will be available. So this interface is completed, will be there. And then it'll also be available on the neighborhood page. So that's kind of the technical back end and how it relates to the front end. Now, I know I went through quickly. I'd be happy to take questions, or I would also be happy to call you in to put my email out there. And if there are questions, once I know sometimes you sit in on one of these meetings and it kind of makes some decent sense. And you open it up later and you feel like you're missing a key link. I'd be happy to put my email up there and answer questions at a later date. When someone starts to actually use this, see how it all goes.
Okay.
I'd also be more than happy, I would be thrilled to get feedback from you, the educated user. Like I said, try to walk the thin line. The thin line between the user that knows how all this works and should work and that doesn't. So I'd be more than happy to get some feedback on how this does work for you or how it doesn't work for you as you start.
Okay. Are there any questions from you guys right now? Yeah.
Is there going to be a way to do some more sophisticated symbology on some of these layers?
I'm glad you asked that.
Great question. Yes, there is. I think that was Colleen's first question when we talked last. It's in the roadmap for all of our platforms. It's been requested, not the first time you heard. Again, I apologize. I know I sound a little foolish when I can't commit to a date or where it is on our map. Generally, Tom does that, so I just don't get involved. I would imagine it's coming sooner than later, and I would certainly say in our next iteration of information here, it should be available. Currently, let's see if I can grab real quick here and get some response. So the service can go up. Here we go. Here's our standard. This is an asset map for the city of Sarasota. So basically what you're looking at here are probably organizations that have filed a 990. This is just our standard 990 data for the county. But this shows you all the different icons stuff we're currently using. And then currently, at the moment, they are not customizable. But we would love to make them customizable, and I guess sooner than later, we would like to do that. But on the same note, was it Trevor?
Yes.
Yes, it was Trevor.
I would love to get your feedback on exactly. Do you have icons and stuff that you would like to use custom, or would you rather choose from a set?
No, I think we would definitely like to. I mean, for certain layers, yeah, we have some standard symbologies, but then like for the demographic stuff, you know, that would have to be based on the attributes that you're trying to show.
Yeah, so it'll be all custom. Okay.
Rob, when you and I last talked, one of the things that you had mentioned was for those symbols to either be customized by community administrators or potentially the end user can customize it as they're creating a map on the site. Is that still something that you guys are planning to do?
I don't know if now we're talking about different things. I know we did talk that what we really would like to allow the end user to customize would be the ranges of indicator data. Currently, when indicator data is uploaded, it's divided. We scan the data once it's uploaded, and a range is developed for it. And it's currently divided into four equal quartiles. What we would like to customize there, and again, what is on our roadmap, is to allow the end user to, it could be either. We could allow, when the data is uploaded, to allow the community administrator to define the quartile. But that's only part of it. What we really would like to do is allow the end user to define the quartile and say, okay, give me, I don't want four, give me six, or give me, you know, two of the top 50%, four of the lower 50%, something like that. That is also on our development roadmap to allow that to be customized. Is that what you were talking about, Colin?
No, I was speaking about the symbols that the user would get to choose the way they want to look at it.
They hadn't been talked about the actual end user choosing symbology. I don't know that I had that. I'm sorry if I misrepresented it. Certainly, when the data is uploaded or the community administrator, I could see customizing that, like you just spoke, but I don't know that we'd let the end user do that. I mean, I guess if there was a need and it was something that we decided to require, we could technically. I don't see any reason not to, but I don't know if there's a use for that. You feel that there's a need for the end user to define that?
Think that would be a good idea.
It would depend on the skill level of the person.
Yeah.
That's back to the fine line we walk. Sometimes, you give the end user, and depending on who the end user is, you give them too much information, and that can be a real problem as well. This interface here that we're looking at is fabulous. And you can filter and sort, and you can really get down to the nitty-gritty in here. You can get organizations by NTE code. You can really get down to it, but it's really tough to present this to, your average Joe user. That can be tough. So, yeah, sometimes it can be, that's why when you ask about customizing that for the end user, I hesitate because sometimes you give them too much and they get lost.
Okay. We have another question.
It's related to this. If we don't have a real good administrator on this program who can communicate all of us and to whom we can relate our questions, which sounds to me like two people for the job it could involve, and we do things ourselves, is this program robust enough to prevent us from messing somebody else's work up? Because that would be my big concern, that I'm trying to create a photograph, not a literal photograph, but a picture for my community, that I create some basis and some symbols and inadvertently wipe out somebody else's setup.
Great question. Certainly important. I know I certainly wouldn't want to spend time on uploading my information and find out that someone else wiped it out or vice versa, that I affected someone else's work. Part of my answer to that is that we discussed earlier when you get into tools and get into uploading data. Currently, it's designed as a community administrator function. And currently, most of our platforms have two or three community administrators, and that's all. So there is that worry that somebody comes in and steps on your data. So the way things sit right now today, no, that really isn't the concern. We certainly try to make sure of it. That's another fine line of how you make it the platform open. You want to encourage users to use it and customize it and allow them to put their information there, but yet you need to protect what's there. So that's who has access to those parts and pieces is always a discussion. It's generally a discussion at a little higher level than me. It comes to me as it's a form of requirements. But I'd be happy to discuss it maybe with Colleen later or whoever, or maybe to get Tom into that discussion of how we make certain areas open enough that people can use them, but yet they're safe. So I guess to answer your question, I could certainly see where if you upload a data set, we can certainly tag that data set, as yours. So maybe there might be a public and private, part to that administrative piece. That's certainly doable. So if I upload data and I say, well, I'm the only one that can touch this data, so now when you go to upload data, you won't even see it there. You'll still be able to see it on the front end and use it. It'll still be available in the user interface, but you won't have any administrative access. Is that kind of what you're thinking about?
Yep. Yeah, okay. So I think we're going to trial and error.
So to clarify, in terms of the purpose of reviewing the back end process today, is there a proposal that each local data steward is going to be uploading the data that they're contributing, or was there another purpose for reviewing the back end process?
The first one.
So the proposal is that every local data steward will be uploading their data directly to the platform.
I think so. So data stewards, what do you think of that proposal so far?
Oh, just looking at the process, it looked pretty boring to, I wasn't really following off of what was going on that screen, but.
Colleen, as we had discussed the other day, though, for like Sarasota County data, you guys are just going to pull a web service.
Yeah, for the KML files, definitely.
Yeah, and Nita runs ArcServer also, so she would have the capabilities of doing it the same.
I can set up services, yeah.
Yeah, and we've already sent them one to test.
Yeah, in terms of uploading the indicator data, that has to be done this way, using the tables. And so they have to be in a specific format, the format that Rob just demonstrated for us, which is why it's taking me so long to clean some of that data. It could be that it's just, I'm the community administrator and it's me who people send their data sets to when I clean them and upload them into the platform. It could be that there's a few people who are sharing that responsibility who get kind of comfortable with this uploading process, or it could be what Allison just asked. It could be everybody learns this and uploads their data sets in. Yeah, Tim.
So part of this, I think, is that we're still learning.
Right.
And the other issue is, like, the question I have is, what data sets are right now nearly ready to load? And what barriers need to be overcome to make that happen? And what is it that we could do as a data collaborator to get past those barriers?
Mm-hmm. So the data sets that we have that's ready is most of the school district data, most of the registered voter data, and then Trevor had sent along data that was specific to demographics in each neighborhood. So those are the three. The issue with this, I can get into the technical stuff with you guys about each of the data sets, but the way that some of the tables were created
when ArcGIS created a summary file, it only created the sums for each neighborhood that there were, that had data for that neighborhood. And so not all the neighborhoods have data for the schools, for example. Venice, there are some neighborhoods where there are no children in elementary school. So I've had to go in and enter, make sure that all the neighborhoods line up with the data sets. That's something that maybe the school district could do themselves, that it doesn't require me having to do that. But it would require creating a different process within GIS to do that more easily.
I guess that goes to a question I was also going to ask, you really answered it. We sort of know what databases we have, but not precisely, because we don't know how far they go into various neighborhood areas and various parts of the county. So that's something that we have to develop as we go along, and we have time resources for it, because we can't do it.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time to clean. I mean, we have 15 different indicators for schools, and so I have to do that for each one, and it takes a while.
What all are you having to do to?
Just check to see, I mean, not all of the neighborhoods exist in each of those files. And so one of the files I opened the other day, it was like 183 neighborhoods. Well, our neighborhood file has 263 neighborhoods. So I have to go in manually check which neighborhoods are in there and which ones aren't.
I think that may be a discussion for on the next meeting or one of our meetings, if is to train people who are putting in data to have it, to understand how to have it the format that it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense for everybody to give you all different kinds of disparate data and then you have to go and clean it.
But then how much are we going to be doing on our end getting stuff prepared?
Once you set up the way that you want it to come out, it's set up. You just run it when you update the data.
Well, I mean, Colleen was just saying it's taken her a long time to get these cleaned up.
She's trying.
But I'm doing it manually. I'm not doing it using GIS. I don't have, I mean, you and Nita both have GIS skills that far surpass my own. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a simpler way to do it that I just don't know about.
If you took the data set of the neighborhoods and pulled it back down and re-summarized the data, then it's going to be correct. And make sure that the fields are coming out to the fields that she needs.
I guess I would have to see.
But she's saying some are missing data.
Right.
And it's probably down in Venice, there's a lot of retirement areas where you're right, you're not going to have children.
Right.
It doesn't matter how you summarize data, it's going to come up with nothing.
Well, maybe you can do a report that compares hers with that one. Anything that's unique on one or the other.
And
you can do that right in Excel.
Process.
So maybe we can have a technical GIS folks meeting with
right.
people who have data sets, you know, which would include Nikki from the school district and I can't remember his name right now, from Supervisor of Elections, the GIS.
Antoine,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a meeting that we can have in between now and the next meeting to make
just
sure
to brainstorm on how to
yeah.
make it easier to get data available to the platform.
Yeah.
Would that help, Tim?
That's a good idea.
Correct. So I'll contact folks to set up that. Yeah,
I was thinking also that it was just my own incapacities, but I just listening to the little discussion we've had, I think it's not just what I need. I think we all have to play with this. We have to really get into it and try to use it and write down what we can't do that we want to do, or write down what we don't understand in order to go somewhere. Because from what I got on the presentation, I now know how to get in the car and turn the ignition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. but I'm not sure what the highway's like. So I think we cannot talk about a lot of these things until we actually, you know, bump into a hydrant and that kind of thing and actually do it. And maybe I'm different, but I think this kind of thing has to be done rather than just looking in the book or watching a presentation.
I think you're right. So another piece to this is, you know, not all of these data sets are going to be generated by GIS experts. I mean, people are going to be uploading data about their neighborhood to the platform. And Rob, we didn't really talk about this today, but there's an alternative upload system, which is the uploading of an asset. And you guys have it set up so that it's specific to organization. Is he gone?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Oh, can you move your mouse? Because you're is that us or you?
No,
it's
time out.
Ah, sorry, we timed out.
Okay.
The organizational upload tool that
passwords thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're getting our screen backed up right now. You had mentioned that there's an organizational upload tool, which is basically the equivalent of uploading a location point.
Correct.
And this is something that is not as complicated, correct?
Correct. Do you want me to expound on that for just a minute?
Well, we only have a few minutes left here.
Okay.
So if you can do it,
well, no, but let's skip it. But you're correct in that somebody can upload an asset. You can call it anything you'd like. Currently, we consider it as an organization because our basic data is based on 990 data. So currently, you know, what's pre-populated is 990 data. There are organizations or programs, but that can be brought to a neighborhood level. Be an asset. So you could upload, you know, your neighborhood store, for that matter, whatever you want to upload, and that becomes point data on the neighborhood map.
And is that only using the back end, or is that, I think it is only using the back end, correct?
Well, yeah, but I'm not so sure. I mean, here's my profile, and here's my organizations, and I can add a new organization here. I can fill all this out. I can put the address on it, and it'll appear on the map. So it's that easy. So there is some back end piece, but this is the back end right here.
You have to be logged into the site though to do that and be a registered user, right?
You need to be registered, but you don't need to be a community administrator.
Okay.
What happens here is when someone enters this information, the community administrator will get an email and they'll need to verify the or just confirm that it's not spam. And they can, you know, click yes and it'll display it on the website. And it will be. And if you enter addresses, it'll all be geocoded, so it'll then display on the map properly.
Okay. So that's I don't know if that gets to the point, Alex. I'm not sure what else, if that was what you were trying to make, is are there ways for anybody to just upload certain kinds of data to the platform? There is this way. Well, and then there is the sharing your story or sharing your photo or sharing your
video. I think it's sort of, it has implications for the collaborative if the collaborative decides that everybody's going to be uploading the data that they are a steward of, or if it's going to be at this phase centralized. Mm-hmm. So, and
yeah.
It may be that what is being proposed is a modification of the agreement that was made at the end of September about the role of scope, your role in terms of being what Rob was saying exists in most community in terms of somebody who's spending at least 20 hours a week doing the data piece. I do think that what's really important, if we're going to get to the point after a year of knowing whether this particular data platform is a good fit for this community, is that, as Jim was saying, it's got to be live so that we can be using it. And I'm concerned about the fact that it's been 3.5 months and it's not yet live. Our organization is really counting upon the data being available for neighbors to understand it, and so far it's not.
Okay. I'd like to add to that, because in a way you started with that point of the passage of time, that we have to get all of us a better understanding of what it takes to do various things, A, B, and C. I won't define them. The reason why I'm mentioning that is that the City Council in Venice had a workshop, and one of the conflicts that we had as a group, which is clearly not just Venice City Council, but it's almost any group, were that some people were really upset because A or B or C hadn't been done, or it was taking too long to get it done in terms of what that person had in mind that he or she wanted to see. And the conclusion of this discussion, which bounced around the room for quite a bit of time, as you might imagine, was that in most cases where somebody was concerned about the time it took for something to be done, it was really because there was not a correlation between what that person wanted and an understanding of what it took to do it. So that one person knew that it was going to take much longer to do than anybody in the rest of, any of the rest of the people in the room had any idea about, but had not said so. And the other person did not communicate why they wanted something done quickly. Now, we don't have quite the dynamics here of that kind of a group, but it's something that we're probably all going to have to get into, and we can't understand it if we don't try to do some of the things ourselves and realize that this is like building a Lego with just the blocks, and this is like taking the rocket ship that's already set up and putting it together. They're big differences.
I'm working as hard as I can to
get with them and get some of this stuff uploaded into the platform. Other than that, we really need to get with the designer, Mark, to make it look as graphic design friendly as it could be. Right now, it's not there yet, obviously. It hasn't changed since the welcome mat was uploaded into it a year ago. So that'll be one of the items on the agenda this month as well.
Is that New Mexico site a finished product?
It's in beta.
Oh, it's in beta.
So it's finished in that it's in the beta version. But yeah, that, I think that's the only platform they have that's fully functional and somewhat similar to ours, even though it doesn't get down to the neighborhood scale. And that's sort of the template that they're looking at for us. But the design phase, we'll come up with a graphic design profile, and perhaps that's an email that I can send out to the collaborative. We'll have some different images or design ideas that people can look at and vote on and see, what kind of feels the best. And we can play with that for a little while and maybe change that. That might be something that we can do for the next meeting too. Right. Everyone looks tired from looking at spreadsheets. So does February 20th work for folks? 9:30 a.m.
Where?
The question is where. So I know we've tried to have more of a geographic diversity in terms of where we head for meetings. I don't think we'll require this kind of technology setup, so we can meet somewhere else. Does anyone want to volunteer their location for the next year collaborative meeting?
If you want to come to Northport.
How do folks feel about traveling to Northport for? Yeah.
It's not that far. I drove up here.
She did.
I mean, come on.
You're in the middle of nowhere.
What?
Shorter to drive up here.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Then we can do the community center for this. I have to check and see whether it's available then. But that's hard to get to. Venice downtown is the most difficult place to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But Northport, you just drop down from the other city.
Down on 75.
I'm fine with going to Northport, and I think that Nita has come up here over and over and over again, and I really appreciate having gotten to know her and her expertise, so I am more than willing to go down there.
Okay.
If it is the 20th, all GIS, Sarasota County GIS, we have a quarterly meeting that we really can't miss, but that's done at 11:30.
Okay.
If y'all are coming to Northport, you can do afternoon.
No, our meeting's in the morning.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Our meeting can be in the afternoon. Okay. I like her to do it in the mornings because I have to drive.
9:30, but okay.
Okay, so afternoon in Northport on February 20th.
And I'll give you I'll go back today and find out which room.
Okay. Shoot for 2 o'clock?
That's fine.
All right. Date? Any other announcements before we kick off?